Hello, everyone. This is Miri. And so a while back, there was going to be an AMA for the Hallmark project. And then shit happened in the States. So it kind of felt that it was like, not the right time. So shit is still going on in the States, but it's less shit. So I figured to deal with the less shit of shittiness that life is, why not do this? So there's one that I did with Byboy, who played Oliver. And today you get to listen to the voice of Howard. And also, I work with him on the Dr. J podcast. So this is Trapdoor Crabsworth.
It's a pleasure to be here. I was told I was not to do voices. Blame Mary. She's not fun.
Not at all. As again, because this is one of my things, this is raw and unfiltered, and I'm hungry. So, yeah, if you hear eating in the background, it's because I'm an asshole eating right now.
You do have a mute function on that microphone. I'm just saying.
I do, but I'm also lazy.
Yeah, but like I can see it right now. It's just like, oh, yeah, it's right there.
All right. Shall we dive into the questions?
Yes.
And also, I should say, this is going to be interesting for Crabsworth because he is this. So there were two voices. Everybody was asking, who is this person? He is one of those voices because he is not active on Gone Wild Audio at all.
Suckers.
Yeah. I don't, so you can't follow him. There's no profile to go to. There's no like lexicon of stuff to listen to. This is it. Well, I mean, there is a lexicon over at like Final Cut, which is where the Joker is. But yeah, but if you're trying to find him on Reddit, not gonna happen. It starts and ends with once, twice, three times a Christmas. So isn't that awesome?
So, I mean, I guess I should start by saying, Miri found me on the street and, asked me if I wanted to do this. And when I said no, she said, "Kim man, oh, Kim man." And I just kind of wanted her to leave me alone. So I said, sure. When I was asked to do this interview, though, I thought to myself, 80% yes. For all of you, I want to do this. 20%, you naturally learn to fear Miri the more that you know her. So take that for what it's worth. See, look at her face, right? I don't know if you guys can see this because I'm sure she's only going to post the audio, but she's like, she looks at me and she's like, "I'm going to kill you when this is over." And I'm thinking to myself, haha, two different cities.
Because I'm a weirdo.
Yep.
Huh. So something's happening on my end, so I can barely hear you.
Oh,
But
that's always fun. Is it my feed coming through, or is it
oh, there. I've got you through my headphones.
well the yeah.
There we go. There. I got it. I got it.
And remember, this is raw and unfiltered, so when Miri kind of ruins the chat there, you actually hear it.
I know. It's you see behind the scenes. Okay. First question from the listeners, fans, the people, from the people,
Okay.
from the people. What was it like collaborating on this project?
So it was actually kind of interesting because as I said earlier, I was asked to do this. I'm going to assume as a replacement for somebody else, or because Miri couldn't find voiceover artists to do this.
No,
So
that is a lie. I was literally like, I want him on this, and I don't want to tell him that sex is involved, and I want him to be surprised.
God. Okay. So knowing that information, which, thanks for telling me beforehand, really professional. It was honestly a lot of fun to collaborate because basically I went in and recorded all of my lines before everyone else bar, I think Octavia. I think Octavia.
No, it was Oliver.
It was Ollie recorded his lines before me. Okay. Yeah,
he decided he was going to do it and then banged it out in 4 hours.
So, needless to say, I only had one real point of reference, and that was Ollie, who, you know, as much as I love Ollie, and I do, he wasn't really family to me yet. So I went in and I thought to myself, okay, so as I'm reading through the script and I was only given my stuff, I'm thinking to myself, this is Myri, something is up, or this is Miri, something's up. So I went and just decided, okay, he's a father, he's kind of campy and fun, you know, he's basically the comic relief of this whole ordeal and get together. So I went in and I banged out my lines, and I remember when I was telling you that I was going to do it, it was Remembrance Day and I was off. So I just thought to myself, okay, this is the Howard recording day. Get myself ready to go.
That's how we celebrate Remembrance Day in Canada, right? Yes, there.
The Howard recording day. Now, you have your soldiers. I have the fact that I don't have a sex scene. So naturally, I go bang it out in a couple of hours. And if I can shout out anybody as to how much fun it is to collaborate on things, it's going to be Miri and Eli, the sound director, because as I'm going in, I am told explicitly, okay, only listen to your scenes. Dear God, only listen to your scenes. And then, dear God, only listen to your scenes in public. And then I decided to make a mistake and not listen to my scene. Or not listen to my scenes. Thank God it was not in public. And needless to say, Eli does a fantastic job all throughout the picture. For me, I don't know if these made it into the final Reddit cut. I don't think it did. But if you go to www.deathpixie.ca and search up their Vimeo, I basically had the honor and pleasure of collaborating with Miri on a whole bunch of commercials.
You want to know why they weren't included?
What?
So Eli finished everything, exports everything, puts it onto the drive. Then he realizes what he forgot.
So needless to say, I'm going through the thing. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going through the thing because the commercial process was a lot different than writing and recording the lines for Howard. I'm thinking to myself, Miri, where's my babies? And, I thought to myself, okay, you know what? They didn't like them. Fine. I liked them. So fuck you. But needless to say, a lot of fun working with, Miri and Eli, and, the Discord chat for the project was honestly one of the most hilarious things you could possibly have, because, you had Miri just like completely going insane whenever somebody actually finished their stuff. It's like, somebody's actually doing work for me. Yay. But aside from that, you know, heck of a lot of fun. That's all I can say.
And I am planning to do like kind of a super cut for Vimeo of like everything with the commercials spliced in.
You're actually going to do editing work?
I know, right? Like, God.
No. This isn't you. Are you okay? Are you well?
I don't know. I don't know my semaphore to like signal. Okay. Oh, here's one.
Yep.
What kind of audio equipment did you use?
Okay. So for Howard specifically, I used a Blue Snowball microphone and basically attempted to dampen my acoustics however possible in the raw file itself. So anything by Blue is really what I used to do anything. Any sort of prototype stuff I would have sent to Myri and Eli, I would have done through probably my phone, which at that time was a Samsung Prime J3. If you can believe how great I am with technology, that's the phone I used. But yeah, 99.999% of the stuff that you hear, both as Howard and as Dr. J, Dr. J's self-help. If you follow me on Final Cut, it's all done through a Blue Snowball microphone. This is not a paid advertisement for Blue, but I've had my Snowball mic for going on 11 years now, and it hasn't failed me yet. So I'm going to give it the honor of having a warrior's death. So, oh, and the other thing I should mention, anytime I do any sort of recording with regards to audio, or anytime I have to do mixing, I use these Sennheiser's 450 BTs. So, I mean, yeah.
Ooh la la. Somebody's fancy. So fancy. Not using the, like, what is it? The like, earbud thingamajiggers?
Why in the hell would I use those?
They hurt.
Yes, exactly.
Cool. Cool, cool, cool. What was it like? You kind of answered this already. What was it like being brought into the project?
Well, you know, I answered this sort of as myself, so I think there's somebody else who needs to answer.
No.
Naturally, when my wife Helen came to me and said, "Howard, dear, my beautiful daughter Octavia is going to finally be in a relationship. There's just one catch. She needs a whole play that it completely revolves around kinky sex." Now, I, of course, am recovering from cancer, so we can't do anything. But what do you say? Have a go. And I said to her, "Can I tell that story with a tuna fish?" And she said, "Okay, but every line except for mine with regards to that will be cut on the cutting room floor."
That, I'm sorry, the stuff of yours that got cut completely informed how I did Helen. Just hands down completely informed it. And I was shocked that my throwaway line about the tuna ended up in it as the ender. I was like, what? Great in the most messed up way possible. So for 2021, is there anything you're looking forward to this year aside from the end of lockdown quarantine?
Oh, God. I want the ability to have a giant 50-ounce steak for April 26, 2021. Aside from that, no. The biggest thing for me is doing this sort of stuff, doing voiceover work, doing projects. I have got projects for Final Cut and for Death Pixie in the pipeline that's going to take away most of my 2021. I'm actually looking to upgrade most of my set, bar my Blue mic. So this is going to be a big year for me.
Yay! What was the most difficult part about being involved in the project and creating the commercials?
Dr. Dick Longrod, are you tired of the rough and tumble nature of unprotected sex? Maybe you should try condoms.
That's like the best thing ever. Oh, man. It is totally, that was like the best commercial of them all.
So about that one, which is honestly the most fun. I actually had the honor and pleasure of blowing out my whole microphone set the first couple of times I tried to record it. It was the hardest thing I think I've ever done in my career as a voiceover artist. And even then, I cannot completely perfectly mimic what I did. So yeah, that is by far the most difficult thing. Let's be honest, Howard was just me spitballing and trying to just have some fun. So I honestly can't think of anything that was difficult. However, I'm sure if you go to any of the more erotica-based actors, they can tell you a whole lot of different stories of trying to have this down-to-earth serious conversation and, you know, juxtaposed with this. So.
But it was so good.
But yeah, there's not a lot you can really do.
Oh boy. Okay. Okay. So I have to rephrase this for you because you had no intimate scenes.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel awkward, uncomfortable, uneasy doing this kind of a collaboration?
Like, no.
Easy question, right? Easy.
Yep.
How long did it take you to record your stuff?
Commercials or Howard?
How about all of them?
Okay, Howard took me 2 hours. The commercials took me about 5 1-hour sessions spread across 2 weeks, simply because I would think of one, script it, and then go with it. And you know, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to the commercials. They were my babies. So I would record them again and again and again and again and again and again. And except for Dick Longrod, that happened once, and I'm very happy it came out the way it did. But 2 hours for Howard, 5 1-hour sessions for the commercials.
In general, what are your book recommendations?
My book recommendations? Who the hell asked that?
So there were some people who asked completely unrelated questions that are not here. And then there were some people that would ask like 3 related questions, then 1 unrelated one. So this is my reward to those people for actually asking related questions.
Gotcha. Okay. So my book recommendations start off with 50 Shades of Grey. Not for the reason you're thinking, but because the whole idea of seniors being together is completely a foreign concept in our society. Aside from that, in all seriousness, you cannot go wrong with Animal House. Let's see. If you're looking to get really hot and horny about the environment, Silent Spring by Rachel Carson. Quite frankly, just think of any sort of hoity-toity, academically inclined book. And that is what you would see me reading in my spare time, of which I don't have any. Of course, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the book that I simply forgot the name of right now. What the heck was it called? Psychology of Evil. I know, right?
You're like hoity-toity. Damn, Krebsworth.
When I get time to read, like, I want to be hoity-toity.
You're like edumacated.
If I just want to like just sit back, relax, it's not books, man. It's YouTube, it's animation, it's, you know, trying to perfect your craft. It's basically doing this for God knows how long. If I want to read, I want to exercise a part of my mind. So.
What is the one thing, big one thing, you've learned about yourself as a creative after finishing the project?
Very camp person. I'm a very camp person.
You're just realizing this now? What?
Well, I mean, you know, it's not that I'm realizing it now, it was really solidified with Howard, because you know, compared to a lot of the stuff I do, Howard is like a muted version of what I do, and he's still like ridiculously over the top. So very camp person. And dear God, I need to do more of this stuff. That's what I realized when I was doing this. So I joined up with Final Cut at around the same time as Once, Twice, Three Times at Christmas. I was asked to and started to record at least some of the commercial ideas in my head, because apparently I had free reign over that, because she didn't even think of that, Myri. And, you know, I was free to do whatever the hell I wanted. So I thought to myself, oh, what the hell? But I need to do more voiceover stuff in order to keep myself sane. So thank you so much for that. Also, the champion, the better, I guess.
That's amazing. And it is so true. Slight rephrase of this question. Is it easier for you to perform with another person or without the other side of the conversation?
That is a really good question. Like, I actually, thank you. You've put book person like way down in my list of people, whoever you are. So thank you for this question. I think when it comes to something like this, when you're performing scenes and you are getting into the flow of things, it is a lot better to actually perform with other people. For this project, I didn't. But the reason where I say, like, philosophical wise, it's a lot better for me is because you can feed off the energy of the other person or people involved. I will bring up an example. That example is Dr. J's self-help, feeding off the energy of Catherine, the biggest pile of human garbage, and the guest of the time. Like, I remember we were doing Booker Shapiro on Wednesday, and just the amount of fun and the amount of energy you can take from somebody just completely fucking your shit up at the moment's notice and then trying to bring it back and wrestle it is so much more fun and so much more rewarding for me. That being said, for the commercials, I find it's a lot easier to perform as a solo act simply because a lot of the stuff I was doing was a solo act. And that way you have complete control over what you do and you have a defined vision. So it's really a double-edged sword. Me personally, I love performing with other people.
Amazing. So when you're looking at a big project like this, how do you find the motivation to keep going?
Really, I performed Howard in one day. I don't believe this is the case for this project for me. But I've always, when I look at a project or when I look at a gig or when I look at, you know, any sort of professional voiceover work that I've done, if it's a longer project, you have to think to yourself that the end goal is going to be worth it, that you are going to put smiles on people's faces. In this project, I think it was smiles and something else. But from my own personal philosophy is look at the end goal, look at how much you're going to get out of this when you see the finished product put all together. That is what is going to drive you to keep you going. I just released an album through Death Pixie. It was Dr. J's Big Sexy Valentine's Day special. And
and people would have seen the duet between myself and Eli that got plastered all over Twitter that I did.
Which, by the way, was one of the single hardest things I could edit. I'm not an editor by any means. If you sing again, actually, since we're on this topic, can you get Eli to edit your stuff? Because there's no way to save some of that.
You're such a dick.
I know, right? but no. Actually, what was the original question? Because I found a chance to take a pot shot at Myri, and that never happens, so I have to take it whenever it happens. what was the original question? Something about finding the motivation to keep going on a long project, if I'm correct. Please tell me I'm correct.
Yes, that's
what. Okay,
that's
thank what God. So basically think about the end product, think about the smile that it's going to put on people's faces. I can remember, not so much for this project because literally it was 2 hours and I'm done, and then 5 1-hour sessions and I'm done. But for Dr. J's Big Sexy Valentine's Day album, I got contacted by my bosses at Final Cut saying, hey, we know you're doing this. There better be a duet between Joker and Eric Cartman. And when I said to them, oh yeah, there's gonna be, do you wanna hear it? I want to see your reactions to it. Just the amount of just sheer ugh that came out of that is all the motivation that you need to finish up the project. So think of the end product, think of the smiles it's going to put on people's faces. That's all I can say.
That's great. You're so like positive. What work have you done so far that you're the most proud of?
Oh God. Okay, person who asked this question, please know that you have made me go back through my body of work, and I both simultaneously love and hate you for it, because now I have to go through and like rank everything. Believe it or not, Howard is actually up there, just because it is my ability to cut loose. Aside from that, probably the biggest high I ever got from doing voiceover work, I was doing a narration for organizations that promote the well-being of persons with disabilities. I was doing the narrations for that. Out of respect for those organizations, I will not name them here. But being in the booth and giving the what I consider to be my most grounded, down-to-earth performance really added a lot to me being proud of things. Aside from any of that stuff, anything where you can look at what you've done and say, oh my God, I did this, this is real, this is happening, just gives you such a high. I can remember doing work for a Quebec-based university. I got to fly down to Montreal, a huge amount of just fun and excitement there, particularly because I got my stuff done a day earlier than expected. They had booked me for 2 days. So basically I go down, I get everything done in one, and I'm basically parading around Montreal for the other day because they have no use for me, which was a great thing. Dr. J, believe it or not, I am so proud of Dr. J, it's not even funny. Simply because it's one of the more fun things I've ever done. And well, this is going to sound extremely sappy, but I was really, really proud when I got to do this. This isn't for Dr. J, but this is how I found out I could do the voice. So I worked as a camp counselor at a local YMCA, and there was this little boy at the time who was around 3. He did not want to be there. He just wanted to go home. He was so upset. We don't know why. Like, nobody knew why. It was superhero and supervillains week. So I started talking to the boy because I had just gotten there. And he told me his name, and he told me his favorite superhero was Batman. And so I said to him, Batman, well, that's interesting. Do you want to know why that's interesting? And he looked at me. He's like, sure. I said, because I'm the Joker. And I've been watching you. Yeah, you look like the kind of person who wants to cause trouble. Why not cause some with me? For the whole day, I will give you everything. You will get the full Joker experience. And all you have to do for the entire day, my little minion, my little Jokerette, whatever you want to be called, is say that the Joker, that's me, is better than Batman. He wouldn't say it. He looked at me square on and said, no. So I said, come on. He said, no. I said, oh, come on. Here, I'll help you. The Joker,
is better than Batman.
That's you. That's what you say. And he's so defiant, and he's starting to laugh his ass off because I'm getting more and more annoyed. And finally, I yell at the top of my lungs, fine, you want to be with Batman? Be with Batman. Kids today, they don't respect it. Now, I yelled loud enough to make sure another counselor heard me. And this would be the counselor who, like, is his group leader. So he goes into our big pile of tricks and gets a Batman mask. He rips off his uniform. He puts on, like, as much of a Batman cowl as he can. And he writes the name tag saying, hello, my name is Batman. And so for this kid, that is just the high point of his day right there. I can remember he tried to specifically seek me out just to point out that Batman was here. And so I said to him, how did you get Batman here? He's not supposed to be here. He hasn't taken the Council of Training. But he was just on cloud nine. He couldn't wait to come back. And so that it wasn't necessarily a project for voiceover, but you used your voice. And it was one of the most fun experiences I think I could have.
That is amazing. Yeah. That is just so pretty.
I don't think I've ever told you that one.
No, you haven't. No. That was beautiful. That was like fantastic. Also, it's going to end up being the best story of everybody. Not to be shady. I'm just saying that's a hard one to top. And I think you know that. So you actually do write your own stuff.
Yes.
So of this question is going to be interesting from you, at least from my perspective, because I'm an a-hole. He knows I'm an a-hole.
I do.
And because you know that most of the listeners know everybody know this project from the erotic end of voice acting.
Yeah.
So I'm more interested in your answer to this question, which is, so you write scripts.
Yes.
Of the stuff you've written, what would you like to actually happen in real life?
What would I like to actually happen in real life? Oh, God. When you say real life, like made into an animated series or made into...
To actually happen to you.
Oh, to actually happen to me. Oh, dear God. I like campy stuff, man.
Now you know why I was amused by this. Because everybody else, it's obvious. Come on. But you, this is an interesting question.
You! I always wanted to go to a mental asylum. No. Honestly, God, that's a great question. I wish I could dodge this question somehow. Because the things that I write that I hope happen to me, and me specifically, really involves me being able to summon a Keyblade out of thin air. And that just completely ruins all my credibility with everyone.
No, it's nice. Come on. So, it's super nice.
So that specifically would be one of the coolest things ever. Aside from that, out of the stuff I've specifically written, I would love to be a part, like, you know how you said Dick Long Rod is your favorite commercial? Well, one of mine was the Shaker Merkley, the Michael Jackson one. I would love to be able to go on to a random ass commercial for any sort of project and completely fuck up its shit. So go on for like one of those Mini Pops Kids albums back in the day and go, I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt.
Oh my God, those Mini Pop Kids albums for
Oh yeah, my God.
They're the worst things ever, but they're promoted like hell. I would just love to go in and completely rewrite that crap. But aside from that, it's basically, you know, if I acted on the stuff I would write, I would either be a wizard or fucking with it. Being able to summon a keyblade at a moment's notice. So I've ruined all my credibility with all of you. I'm so sorry.
No, you're not.
I'm really not.
In the project itself, this project, did you have a favorite couple or character in there?
Octavia was always my favorite daughter.
Said.
Actually, aside from Howard, who is just the best, because he does not belong at all. So aside from Howard, who's the best, I have to say Octavia and Jonathan. Just go with the stereotypical one.
Like the city lady meets the like small town guy.
Yeah, yes. She's just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Oh, wait, swap the two around.
Oh, that's amazing. I think you answered this, but I'll just check. So after completing this kind of big project, was there any kind of personal realization or a new understanding about yourself and your skills?
I have those things.
Apparently you do. Wow. You're having the realization right now.
This is scary to me. You know, I don't have these skills, and people like Miri are wanting to repress my skills. So no, if I can be honest, it's basically what I said before. I'm a campy son of a bitch.
Yeah, you are. So in preparation for this, you described your approach for the project. Was there anything you did in preparation for it?
So, and it's something I'm actually going to have to do before we start any sort of other recording. So anytime I do a recording for let's say Dr. J, or for this, I always have three things near me. Number one, water. Sometimes water, like sometimes lukewarm water with salt, depending on how my throat is. Sometimes just regular water. Number two, Pepsi, keeps me awake. And number three, either some sort of pain pills in case I'm going into a long session and my back goes out. Or as Miri wants me to admit right now, alcohol beers. So one of the two will always be present. Usually it's the pain pills, but I think for one of the commercials, I forget which one when I went to sit down and do it. Molson Canadian, and if that doesn't work, Smirnoff Ice Peach Bellini. Dear God, they are fantastic when you're just trying to cut loose.
Oh my God. Wild man. The final question is one of those reward questions where the person actually, wait, this isn't a reward question. This is a question that was so fucking weird. I had to ask it. So I have to slightly change it for you. So I'm going to read it in its original form and then I'm going to change it for you. Okay.
Okay.
So the original question is, who are some of the voice actors on the subreddit that you think you can individually take in a bare knuckle fight? And I'm going to change that to, who of the cast do you think you could take in a bare knuckle fight?
Oh, fucking nobody. No, seriously, if you meet Myri in real life, by the way, she is probably the least intimidating person of this cast. She looks like she could destroy you, both mentally and physically. And she would look as though she would have such a joyous smile on her face while she did it. And then she'd be doing... And she'd be like... But no, I couldn't take anybody in a bare knuckle fist fight, unfortunately. Both any of the people within the Reddit, trust me when I tell you I'm weak as a baby, and the people within the cast. So needless to say, in a zombie apocalypse, I would be the first one to die. And I am very, very sorry that your opinions of my manliness have been slaughtered not once, but twice tonight. So thank you so much for that.
And on that note, is there anything, that's the last question, is there anything you'd like to say as like a send-off?
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. In this subreddit, your life is like a box of active grenades. It explodes everywhere. So just sit back, relax, and let the cream-filled filling of your life huge out everywhere. This is Dr. J for once, twice, three times a Christmas.
Oh, that was amazing. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.